Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Ches. We're going to finish up as we said the 22nd parak and begin the 23rd parak of Maseches Shabbos. A number of topics that we're going to get to on today's daf. The Gemara in the last Gemara in the 22nd parak discusses setting broken bones, which we mentioned yesterday in the Mishnah, massaging dislocated bones in cold water on Shabbos. And then the 23rd parak is going to begin by teaching us the Isser to borrow while using the word halveni. And we're going to learn what the difference is, what lashon you use when you borrow something. And parenthetically, the Gemara is going to give us three examples of where we don't correct people who violate an Isser, even if we know that it's Aser, because we're convinced that they're not going to listen to us, even if we do try to correct them. That's Mutav Shiyushogin Valu Mazidin. Then we're going to discuss different implications of the Isser Ribbis, the Isser of charging interest and lending and repaying loaves of bread. The Gemara is going to mention Machlok Samarayim, whether a person can make a claim in court for a loan that was made on Yantif. Given the Gemara is going to give the logic of each opinion, try to prove which opinion is correct. At the very end of the daf, we're going to have a discussion of being makdish karbanos on Shabbos, and particularly sholem v'doshin b'hilchsachag l'amidyam kol demechag. We're going to discuss karban Pesach, whenever Pesach is chal on Shabbos, whether you let it be makdish karban Pesach on Shabbos. So we are holding on the Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. We are at about five lines before the end of the page. The last thing we discussed was using the scraper to scrape the skin on Shabbos. It's uvda d'chol, unless you either do it in a you're either scraping mud, which is different than you would do during a weekday, or you're using a silver scraper, which is different than what you normally use during a weekday. So up to ein yordin l'kordima, ein yordin l'kordima. So we had mentioned that you can't go to the Kordima River on Shabbos. So why not? My taima mishum pika. Because of slipping, meaning we're afraid the person might slip in the water, and once you slip in the water, the clothing gets soaked, and once the clothing gets soaked, you're going to come to squeeze out the clothing. We also mentioned that a person should not induce vomiting on Shabbos. That's only through medication that it's an issur to induce vomiting on Shabbos. Aval biyad mutter. But if you're doing it manually by hand to induce vomiting, to Rashi says the hachnis yad the tokrono ad shiyaki, for a person to stick his hand down his throat until he vomits, so that's going to be mutter to do on Shabbos. Tanya Rabbi Nechemya Omer af bechol aser mimrei hafsid ochlin. Rabbi Nechemya says no, that's always aser. It's even aser to do on a weekday because it's a waste of food, that the food is not going to provide you with the nutrients that you need. As Rashi says mimrei hafsid ochlin shabbi meyavim tochach urav v'chol zvi ochel. It's going to make you hungry again. You're going to need to eat again. So it's wasteful of the food that you already ate. Ve'ein ma'atzvin es hakatan. We all said you can't straighten the limbs of a baby. Amar Rabbi Barbachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lefufa yinuka b'shabes shaper dami. To wrap the baby up tightly in a cloth, so that in a blanket, that you're allowed to do. Va'anontan ein ma'atzvin, aye, but doesn't it say ein ma'atzvin that you're not allowed to straighten the limbs of a baby? Hasum b'chumre shidra demechzi kabone. That's something about the spinal vertebrae where it's going to appear like one is in violation of bone. It looks like building. Rashi says b'chumre shidra chulio shel shidra shenesparka achas mehen. If one of the vertebrae is dislocated, ulachas man kamayri dibiam leidam min kolam parshas tochad yecheskel osel nachay b'shabes. This must be when the baby is not a newborn. Because if the baby were mamish, a newborn, so we already learned that you're allowed to do those things on Shabbos for a newborn. So it has to be a little bit later on, says Rashi. Ve'in machzir nes ha-shever. And then the Mishnah mentioned also that you're not allowed to be machzir ha-shever. One of the rebbeim in yeshiva came in yesterday and said, is that really the halacha that you're not allowed to be machzir ha-shever? Have you ever dislocated something? It is extremely painful. It's extraordinarily painful. You're really not allowed to be machzir or Shever on Shabbos? So I don't know. So I had to read just one more line. Amar Rabbi Chana Bagdata, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Machzir Nes HaShever. That the Halacha is that you are allowed to be Machzir Nes HaShever. I said in the Mishnah, Beferi Shein Machzir Nes HaShever. It didn't seem that it was really negotiable. So says Rashi, Sfir Leila Shmuel, Machzir Nes HaShever. Shmuel had a different version of the Mishnah. In Shmuel's version of the Mishnah, Mishnah, it actually said machzirin. So Shmuel says, yeah, the halacha is that you are machzirin as a shever. Rabba bar Barchana ikla lepumbedisa lo al lepirkei the Rav Yehuda. Rabba Barchana went to Pumbedisa and he didn't show up to the shir of Rav Yehuda. Shadre la adya daila amrle zil garbe. So he sent his shamish and he said, go take away something from him, take away his beged, until he finally agrees to come to the shir. I don't like that he's refusing to come to the shir. We should take something away from him until he finally relents and agrees to come to the shir. So azul garbe, asa ashche de kadarish, so he took away the beged until he had to come to the shir, because what else was he going to do? So he went to the shir and he found that he was darshaning the following, ein machzirin es hashever. He was teaching the Mishnah the way we have it, that the Mishnah says, ein machzirin es hashever. So Amar Lei, when Rabbi Bar Chana heard this, he heard Rav Yehuda saying this, he said, well, Hachi Amar Rav Chana Bagdasa Amar Shmuel, Halacha Machzirin Es HaShever. You should know that we have a tradition from Shmuel that the Halacha is that you are allowed to be Machzir HaShever, you're allowed to return a dislocated limb on Shabbos, and that the Mishnah, you have the wrong text of the Mishnah. Amar Lei, Hachana Didan, Vashmuel didan velo shmieli velav bedina garabticha. So he says velav bedina garabticha. He says, look at that. Chana is didan. He's from our place. The person who says this in the name of Shmuel, and Shmuel is from our place. He's from around these parts. And still, I had no idea of this tradition that Chana said in the name of Shmuel that Rav Chana Bagdasa said in the name of Shmuel that machzirin es shever. So don't you see, I did the right thing. Velav bedina garabticha. If you wouldn't have come, I never would have learned this properly. So it wasn't that I needed you to come to the shir because I needed the kavod of you being at my shir. I needed you to come to the shir to correct me and to teach me something that otherwise I would not have known. So I was justified in these strong arm tactics to get him to get to the shir. Misha nifrika yado. The Mishnah went on to discuss a person who's nifrika yado, that a person whose arm is dislocated or his leg is dislocated. Rav Avia v'Yosef kamed Rav Yosef. Rav Avia was sitting in front of Rav Yosef. Shanyele yade, and he had an issue with his hand. Rashi says nishtanis yado mimakome, it was dislocated. Amrle hachimai, so he said, what about this? Can I? He did some sort of different way of showing how he would fix it. Say, am I allowed to do this? Aser. Vahimai, what about this? Amrle aser. Adachi itbach yade. In the meantime, his hand got better. Amrle mighty baila chatanan mishenifka yado oraglo liyitz from mitzonin avul rochetz kedarko vim nisrape says what's your shaila about? Meaning you know what the Mishnah says? Mishnah says that you're not allowed to vigorously wash it in water, but you're allowed to wash normally and im nisrape, and if it happens to get better, it gets better. Amr Lei velo tnan in machzirin es hasheva from Rav Chanan Bagdata Amr Shmuel halacha machzirin es hasheva. He says, I know what it says in the Mishnah, but I also know that the previous line in the Mishnah we just changed and we said that it says the exact, that we could be makel the exact opposite of what it says in the Mishnah. So I was hoping that maybe it would be the same would be over here also. Amr Lei kulu b'chadam echidu mechdinu hecha di itmar itmar hecha dalo itmar lo itmar. He says, no, just because we change a Mishnah once and we say that it was a faulty text of the Mishnah where we have been told not to pass on like the Mishnah, we can accept not to pass on like the Mishnah. But otherwise, the normal assumption is that we pass on like a Mishnah. It says something in a Mishnah. You pass on that way. So that's, who's hopeful for no reason. You can't be makel against what it says in the Mishnah. Hadron al-Chavis, that is the end of the 22nd parak of Masech Shabbos. Two more parakim to go. Now we begin the 23rd parak of Masech Shabbos. Shol adam michaveru kadei yayin v'kadei shemen. Person is allowed to borrow from his friend on Shabbos, jugs of wine, jugs of oil, ublvad shelo yomer lo halveni. As long as he stays away from a key word, he's not allowed to say halveni. Now, normally, it is usher to engage in mekach u'memker, any sort of business deals on Shabbos and Yantiv. Borrowing jugs of wine and oil is fine as long as you stay away from this magic word, from the word halveni. The Gemara's first question is going to be, what's so bad about this magic word? What's wrong with the word halveni? But we'll see that soon. V'cheinu isha michavirta kikaro. Similarly, a woman is allowed to borrow loaves of bread from a friend. V'im eino ma'amino. And let's say the person doesn't trust the person he's lending stuff to. So maniach talisotzlo v'osimachesh v'nachar Shabbos. He can take a collection unilateral. He could take a talis, and after Shabbos they'll make a cheshbon afterwards to figure out how much he owes him. V'chein erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim shechalios b'Shabbos, and similarly, when erev Pesach is chal on Shabbos in Yerushalayim, when erev Pesach is chal on Shabbos, maniach taliso etzlo v'no talis pischo, you could place your talis by him, you could leave the talis by him, and you take the carbon Pesach. And then you can make cheshbon with him after Yom Tov. So again, Erev Pesach is chal on Shabbos. You want to get your carbon Pesach, so you could take the animal from the mocher, the person who's selling animals, leave your talis by him, and then you'll make a cheshbon after Yom Tov is over, how much you actually owe him for that animal. So says the Gemara, Amalei Rava Barav Chanan Labaye, Maishna Hashileni U Maishna Halveni. The most fundamental question. We started off the Mishnah by saying you're allowed to borrow on Shabbos and Yantiv, but you gotta stay away from the word Halveni. Well, what difference does it make if you say Hashileni or if you say Halveni? They both mean borrow, so why should one be different from the other? So Amalei Hashileni Lo Asi L'michtav. Halveni asi lemichtav. It's about the effect it's going to have on the lender. When you say hashileni, the lender is not likely to write it down. When you say halveni, he's going to write it down. So what's why though? The Gemara doesn't explain why. So says Rashi, halveni mashma lizman meruba. Halveni has an implication that you want it to be a long-term loan. V'kaim lemusachs makos tamal v'alamid yom v'asimal v'zel lichtav al pinkaso kach v'kach l'vesi kadesh l'yishkach. Because you say stam halva'a, when you have a halva'a, when it's halveni, the stam halva'a is for 30 days. So the assumption is that it's going to last about 30 days. So that's a long time. And therefore, the person who's lending is going to be afraid that he might forget it. So he's much more likely to write it down when you use a lashon of halveni. Tosos, however, Tosos quotes this Deya in Rashi, this Shita of Rashi, that halveni is more of a concern of us in the Michtav because halva is always 30 days. And Tosos says he doesn't buy it. V'kashal Rabbeinu Tam, the stam she'ela lamid yom. Stam she'ela is also lamid yom. When you say hashileni, that also implies 30 days. Because I'm Rav Menachos Batcheles, talis she'ula kol lamid yom p'tur min atzitzis. That's the Gemara Menachos that if a person borrows a talis for the first 30 days that he borrows a four-cornered garment, it's potter from tzitzis. Why is it potter from tzitzis for the first 30 days? Because for the first 30 days, everyone will still realize that it's borrowed. Even if you're borrowing it for longer than 30 days, but then even if it's just borrowed, but once it's longer than 30 days, you need to put tzitzis on. Why? Because no one's going to think it's borrowed anymore once it's past 30 days. But for the first 30 days, everyone will realize that it's just a borrowed talis, and therefore it's potter, and a borrowed talis happens to be midaraisa, potter from tzitzis. So what do you see? That 30 days is a normal time for a she'ela, not just for alva. Not only that, when you rent a house in Chutz La'aretz, how long do you have to put up a mezuzah? You have 30 days to put up a mezuzah when you rent a house in Chutz La'aretz. Alma d'stam she'ela lamid yom. Again, the assumption is that stam she'ela is lamid yom. Isa l'hachi p'tura kal lamid yom. Damar shuli yav mikan ve'elach nira k'mashalo. And that's why we assume the first 30 days it's borrowed. But after that, people are going to think that it's yours because borrowing is normal to do for a span of 30 days. It's, by the way, a major misconception people have. People think that when you buy a house in Chutz La'aretz, so you have 30 days to put up a mezuzah. There is no such halacha. When you buy a house in Chutz La'aretz, you have to put up a mezuzah right away. When you rent a house in Chutz La'aretz, you have 30 days. You have a window of 30 days before a person is chayiv to put up a mezuzah. But the bottom line is, Tosfos says he doesn't understand why would Rashi say that the difference between halveni and hashileni is that stam halva is lamid yom. We see stam she'ela is also lamid yom. So he says to defend Rashi, you could say as follows: Umi yochel amar l'Rashi lav mishum di mitva le'ledina betoch lamid yom shein tzarich lahachzir devaday chayv lahachzir davidi inshi demishali pachas mishloshim yom. He says there's a big difference between saying stam she'ela is 30 days and stam halva is 30 days. When it comes to stam halva'a, if you lend somebody money, you're not allowed to ask for it back within 30 days, because if you didn't set a designated time that he's supposed to pay back, we assume that he's allowed to have that money for 30 days invested. He doesn't have to have it on hand, and he does not have to return it within 30 days. By a she'ela, when someone borrows something from you, even though it's normal for it to be borrowed for as long as 30 days, you're allowed to ask for it back within 30 days. It's just that no one would ever lend something with a sheila for more than 30 days. That's why someone who has it for more, no one's going to think that it's a sheila. Everyone's going to think he must have borrowed it. But for less than 30 days, that happens all the time. That's why up until 30 days, people might still think that the house or the talis is still sheula, but beyond the 30 days, they're going to think it must be that it belongs to you. So that's how you could justify Rashi, that there still is a difference between stam halva lamid yom and stam she'ela lamid yom. They're different halachos. But v'ripi reish lanu, the Ri gives a different interpretation of the difference between halva and she'ela. Why is it that halva you'll come to write down, and a she'ela you won't come to write down? Tahainu time of a she'elu, fi shehi chozeres be'en lo asi lemichtav. Avaloshon halva inu chozer be'en va'asi lemichtav. When do we use halva? Halva is a lashon that we use when we talk about borrowing money. Whenever you borrow money, the assumption is that you're not supposed to pay back the exact bills that you borrowed. In fact, if you do pay back the exact bills that you borrowed, probably the guy who lent the money won't be so happy with you. What did you need to borrow the money for if you just let it sit in your house the whole time? Normally when you borrow money, it's because you need to make a payment in your cash flow, you're having cash flow problems, or you needed to invest in a business or something. When I'm lending you money, if I'm not going to be using my money, I want you to be using my money. And I assume you need it to use it. So you're supposed to use the money. You're not supposed to give back the same exact item that you borrowed from me. When it's a she'ela, though, if I lend you my snowblower or something, so then I don't expect that you're going to sell it and get me a new one. I want you, or a different one, I want you to give me back the same exact one. You're supposed to give me back the same exact one. He says, that's why, when it comes to a halva'a, it's more normal to write down a halva'a, because halva'a is lo tzah nitna. When I give you halva'a, I don't expect you to keep it and give the same item back to me. So that's why you come to write it down. So it tells us, yeah, that's true about the general difference between halva and she'ela, but over here we're talking about semantics. We're talking about language. We're not talking about what the guy's going to do with it. Over here we're talking about where you're borrowing wine or oil. So when you borrow wine or oil, also I expect you to not return the same wine and the same oil. You don't borrow wine and stare at it for a week and then return it. You borrow wine, you drink it, and you'll return different wine. The same with oil. So what difference does it make what lashon you use if we know that it's lo tzah nitna, if we know that you're supposed to use it? Now the point is, says Tosos, that even though it's something that's nitan lo tzah, it's something that you clearly expect the person to use and to give you back something else in return, when you put in that friendly reminder by using a lashon of she'ela, which is an unusual lashon to use when you're talking about something that is lo tzah nitna, so you use that unusual lashon, that will be the reminder to the person that he should not write it down. So generally speaking, whenever I lend you something that you're supposed to use and give me back something else in its place, generally speaking, I would come to write it down, and that's what we would call a halva'a. But if you use a lashon of she'ela, that will serve as a reminder that I shouldn't write it down. Says the Gemara Vayter, Vakivin de Bechol, Zimnin de Bayle, Memele, Halveni, Vamle Ashileni, Velo Kapri Leve, Vasil Mikhtav, Beshabbos, Nami Asil Mikhtav. So he says, wait a second, since on a weekday, sometimes you'll want to say Halveni, and you'll instead say Hashileni, and no one will care, no one's makbid about the lashon. You could say Hashileni even when it's really halva'a, and you'll come to write it down. So on Shabbos also, shouldn't we still be concerned that you'll come to write it down? So Amarlei, so he said, his father, he said back to him, no, B'Shabbos kivin da shileni hu d'sharalei rabbanon, halveni lo sharalei minkra milsa v'losi l'michtav. See, on a weekday, you could use whichever lashon you want. But since on Shabbos you're limited, you must say hashileni. Say nechnami, it's true. On a weekday, you can say hashileni also, and therefore maybe weekdays and Shabbos is not as different from each other as we'd like to believe, but on Shabbos you must say hashileni. So that alone will be the hecker, and therefore the person will not come to write it down because you must say Hashileni. What about in English? In English, you just say borrow and lend. There's no different word for a she'ela and a halva. In Hebrew, there's a very specific connotation that a she'ela is something that you're going to take the item and give me back the same item. Halva is where you're going to take and use it and spend it and then give me back something else in its place. In English, we always just say borrow. Right? You borrow money and you borrow a snowblower. It's all the same thing. So would you have to use a different lashon, or is it about a shinoi from that lashon, from the lashon that's normally used, or would you be able to use that lashon? So the Ran writes b'shem Tosos that in lashon laz, where there's no chilik between hashileni and halveni, so you just say tainli. You should say give me. Again, you have to make it a shinoi. The whole point is that it should be a hecker, that the person should remember not to write it down, and that's what's pasuk Shulchan Aruch Sim Shin Zayin Sif Aleph, like the Ran, that you have to use a different lashon. The Rashba says that Nashim, who were not so familiar with business practices because they were never engaged in business, didn't know the difference between Ashileni and Halveni. So even for Nashim, you have to use a lashon of Tainli because they're not familiar that of the different mashmaos between Ashileni and Halveni. Okay, Vayter in the Gemara, four lines from the bottom of the page. Amalei Rava Bar Avchanan Abaye Michti Amar Rabbanu Kalmili Diyom Tov Kamida Efshal Lishnei Meshaninan. We always say that whenever it comes to a matter relating to Yom Tov, so as much as you're able to be Mishana, as much as you're able to do something different, to do something unusual, all the Yom Tov activities should be done with a shinoi as much as possible. So Hani Nashi Demalin Chatzvayu Maya Maitai Melo Mishanin. So he wants to know, why is it that when women fill up their jugs with water, they go to the river and they fill up their bottles with water and they schlep the bottles of water, why don't they do a shinoi? So the Gemara suggests, well, there's no shinoi that they can do, because every possible shinoi that they would do, all four viable shinuyim that they might use, will somehow sacrifice another halacha. How so? Mishum de lo efshar. It's not possible for them to do shinoi. Hechi lavid. What do you want them to do? Suggestion number one. Demalyan b'chatzva rabba, limlu b'chatzva zuta. That instead of filling up with large buckets, fill up with smaller buckets. But that will sacrifice a tircha yisera of having to make more trips. If they fill up with larger buckets and they need X amount of water, they can make it on fewer trips than if they fill up with smaller buckets and they have to keep schlepping back and forth. So that will be tircha yisera. So second suggestion, demalin b'chatzva zuta, limlu b'chatzva rabba. So what do you want to say? That someone who fills up with small buckets should instead fill up with large buckets? But then they're going to be schlepping heavier things. So that's also a tircha yaseira and something that we don't want them to sacrifice in the other direction. So nifro sudra. So a third shino you want to suggest. Take a cloth and put it over the buckets. Asili de shchita. That can very easily lead the person to shchita because the cloth will get soaked. And you don't want that to happen. As Tosfos says over here, Mikan Maisi Rabbeinu Tam Raya, the Biyayin V'Shem Lo Shaych Eschita, Ulel B'Shulish Manu Shratzim Perashti, that they bring a Raya from here, that by Yayin and Shemen, there's no concern of Eschita. It's Dafka by the Mayim that we say, that we're worried about Eschita. But if you had Yayin V'Shemen, there would be no Eschita. Remember, that was the big Tosfos, where Tosfos discussed the two different possible Malachos of Eschita. When you squeeze a liquid out of a cloth, so there's schita mishum mefarek, and there's schita mishum libun. So Rabbeinu Tam was taking the libun approach, that when there's water in a garment, then you squeeze out the water from the garment, so that resembles libun. That's you're washing out the garment. Whatever little bit of dirt is stuck in the garment will also come out with the water. That's how you wash things in water. But when there's wine in the garment, you squeeze it out, it's still not going to be clean. So therefore, when it's yayin or shemen, it's not schita mishum libun. Schita mishum mefarek, you still have to worry about. If you squeeze a wine-drenched garment into a bottle of wine, so you're actually saving the wine, you're taking the wine out, and it's not halach liibud, it's something that you would come to use, it would still be schita mishum mefarik. But anyway, back in the Gemara, fourth suggestion, top line and number base, nechasya b'nichtama, so what do you want to suggest? Should we cover the bucket with a lid? Well, zimn in the mystic, fasi the miktere. Sometimes it might come undone, and you'll have to retie the lid onto the bucket, so you'll be sacrificing that halacha. So therefore, none of these suggestions are viable, we can't do any of these shinuim. Hilkach lo efshar. Vamle Rava Bar Rav Chanan Abaye Tnan lo mesapkin v'lo metapkin v'lo meraktim diyomtov. It says that you're not allowed to clap and you're not allowed to bang on your chest, and you're not allowed to dance on Yantif. But we see people do that all the time. They're always dancing and clapping and banging on their chest on Yantif, and no one says anything. So Ultaimech, he says, that bothers you. According to that, you know, Ravi used to always say a person shouldn't sit right by the edge of a mavoi where the lechi is, right by the lechi of the mavoi, because sometimes he'll drop something and it will roll out into the Rosh Hasharabim, and he'll go pick it up from the Rosh Hasharabim and bring it right back into the mavoi, and that would be a violation of hachnasa midar raisa, of bringing from Rosh Hasharabim into a Rosh Hasayachid. Women do this all the time and no one says anything to them. So why not? If we know it's a beferish iser, how could we not say anything? We have this concept that we have to leave people alone sometimes. Better off that they be b'shogeg. We prefer that they do these averos b'shogeg rather than learn about these averos and then continue to do them b'mezid. So the same over here. Even though you're not allowed to dance or clap or bang your chest on yantif, we don't say anything to people because they're not going to listen anyway. So we thought maybe that's true for nisr drabanan, but for nisr daraisa, you can't let them do the Yisr Daraisa. Why would we have such a havamina that there's a chilik between Yisr Darabana and Yisr Daraisa? So it could be based on the Nesivus. The Nesivus in Reish Lamedal, a very well-known Nesivus, says that Yisurim Darabana are all Yisure Gavra. Yisure Daraisa are all Yisure Chefza. It means as follows, that when it comes to Yisr Daraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this act is inherently bad. Eating chazer is inherently bad. Chazer, whether you do it on purpose, by accident, whatever, it's something that's bad. It's something that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria, that it's an Isser. As opposed to an Isser Drabanan. The Rabbanan do not have the ability or the right to be able to change the Bria. They can't say that this is inherently bad, that this has qualities of Isser. But what the Rabbanan can do is they can tell me how to behave, because I have a requirement to listen to them. Lo Sasser, the Torah says Lo Sasser, so because of that, they can make an Isser on me, on my behavior, but not on the object itself. So maybe the whole, every Isser Drabanan is really just a violation, and it says in the Nesivus says explicitly that if someone therefore violates an Isser Drabanan bishogeg, so he doesn't require kapara, he doesn't need to do tshuva, because every Isser Drabanan, the whole Isser, is rebelling against the Rabbanan. It's the Rabbanan told me to do something, I have to listen to them, not let it rebel against them. So if I don't know that I'm doing anything wrong, it's not a rebellion at all. I'm not going against the Rabbanan. So maybe that's the Havamin over here. That if a guy, mutav shi'u shogin, better leave them as shogigin. Maybe that should only apply to the Rabbanans, where if they're shogig, they're not doing an Isser at all if it's shogig. So better to leave them shogig rather than to tell them, and then they'll end up doing it amazing. But by Nisr Daraisa, I would think that you got to inform him, because even when he does it b'shogeg, he's still doing the Isser. It's still a real Isser. So it says Gemara Velohi, but it's not so. Lo shna b'drabanan v'lo shna b'daraisa. Doesn't make a difference. Even on a daraisa, we'd rather him do it b'shogeg, because it's true. On a daraisa, when you do an Isser b'shogeg, it's still an Isser, but it's a lower Isser than doing it b'mezid. And we'd rather you do the lesser Isser. Tosefes Yom HaKippurim daraisa hi, v'kachazin l'duka achli v'shasu ad shetechshach. Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is daraisa, and yet we still see that people eat and drink all the way until it gets dark. V'larmi l'v'lo midi, and no one says anything to them. So why don't we say anything to them? Because we know that we'd rather them do the Isser B'shogeg, even though it's an Isser Daraisa of eating during the Zman Tosefes, than do the Isser Daraisa B'mezid of eating in the Zman Tosefes. Now what does this mean? We started with the Ein Mesapkin, that a person's not allowed to clap. So Rashi over here says, kaf al kaf mishum evel, that the clapping that we're talking about is not like a cheering kind of clap. When people are in avelus, it's a way of expressing their mourning, is by clapping their hands together. It's interesting. Rashi over here says, kaf al kaf, that it's dafka, clapping one hand on the other. In Maseches Beitza, Rashi says Kafal Yerach Beitza Daf Lam Vavam Beis. Also talks about in Yantiv Ein Mesapkin. Over there, Rashi says like to clap your hand against your thigh, as opposed to Kafal Kaf. And Metapkin is to bang the chest. Tulsa says no, this has nothing to do with Avelus. Lo Kapir Shakuntros Mishum Avel. Dimkein Mayir Yubi Yomtov Afil Bchalamoy Nami Asu. If we're about Avelus, why would we only single out Yantiv as a time where it's problematic to do this? It would be Asu to do a Chalamoy also. Kid Namoy Katan Perik Basra, that it says says in Moed Katan Perek Pasan, Noshim B'moed Ma'anos Avalo Metapchos, that on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to be Metapech. So why would we say only Yontif? El Nir the Rebbe Mishum Simcha Regil L'Sapig L'Tapech B'Hashmos Kol Va'asr Shem Yisakin Klei Shir Kedem Farish B'Hamotzi Tefillin. He said, no, this is an issue of Simcha, that we don't want people clapping and dancing and banging their chests in Simcha on Yontif, because it's a part of the Gezerah Shem Yisakin Klei Shir, that you're not allowed to do musical type things lest you come to fix a musical instrument. So this concept, Hanach Lam Yisrael, Mutav Shiyu Shogin. By the way, Tosfos Maseches Beitzah says that nowadays you're allowed to dance because no one knows how to fix musical instruments anyway. Very difficult Tosfos, because people don't know, because generally speaking, we have a rule that anything that the Rabbanan made a Gezeron, even if the Tam of the Gezeron no longer applies, the Rambam passes this way in the second parak of Hilchos Ma'amrim, that you're not allowed to undo the Gezeron unless you have Bezin Gadol Menu B'Chachmo B'Minyim to undo the Gezeron. Yet when it comes to this one, says, we don't really know how to fix musical instruments anyway, so maybe it's really mutter. An interesting line in Tosfos, the Achronim have a difficult time with. But also, this line is difficult. That we leave people alone. Elsewhere in Pesachim, Daf Samach Vav, the Gemara says it a little differently. The Gemara says, Hanach Lam Yisrael, Im Einam Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im Heim. That if we're not Nevi'im, we're B'nei Nevi'im. They have a different mashmos a little bit. Im Einam Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im Heim makes it sound like probably what they're doing is right. We just haven't figured out why yet. Mutav Shu Shogun Valyu Mazidin sounds like, no, we know what they're doing is wrong, but we know they would do something more wrong if we tried to correct them. So it sounds like a little bit of a different idea. The Beis Yosef in Yerdeus in Kuf Tzadivav has a different chiluk. He says, whenever we say mutav shiyushogin, yesh l'bal nefesh l'hachmir, so then a bal nefesh can be machmir. But whenever it says hanach lam lisol menim neviim b'nei neviim, a bal nefesh doesn't have to be machmir either, because menim neviim b'nei neviim heim. So the problem is that all the time poskim will say hanach lam lisol v'chule. So you don't know which Hanach Lam Lisrael they're referring to. So you have to, if there's a halachic nafkamina between one Hanach Lam Lisrael and the other Hanach Lam Lisrael, so the lechora you need them to finish the sentence. But the poskim very often don't finish the sentence. So that's a Beis Yosef's problem. Okay, v'chein yishu mechavirta kikaros. A woman is allowed to borrow loaves of bread from a friend. So b'shabbos hu da'aser, meaning is not allowed to borrow loaves of bread from a friend unless she uses the lashon of Hashileni, right? So says the Gemara. So we see b'Shabbos who da'aser. It's only a problem on Shabbos. Avu b'chol shapir dami. Sounds like during a week it's no problem to borrow a loaf of bread and return a loaf of bread the next day or a week later. So lemi masnis into lo kehillel. This seems to be going against Hillel. D'tnan v'chein ha'yehillel omer lo t'lavi isha lo t'li isha kika lechavirta ad she'te'asen adamim shami yukru chitim nimsu ba'os l'day ribis. That a woman should never just borrow a loaf of bread from a friend, because it could be that the loaf of bread is worth $1 today and tomorrow it's going to be worth $2, and then it's going to be ribbis because I'm going to pay back something that's worth $2 when I borrowed something that was worth $1. So the only way you're allowed to borrow a loaf of bread is if you first assign a value to it. Say I'm borrowing $1 worth, so that when I pay back, I'll know to pay back $1. So don't you see our mission is against Hillel, because our mission makes no such mention of any restrictions of borrowing. So I feel the Hillel. Habas with the kids dummy. Habas with the little kids dummy. No, we could be speaking about a case where kids dummy, there's a set price for bread that doesn't change, and that's why there's no ribbis problem. But in a chinami, if the price of bread does change, then Yitaka do have the problem that Hillel would have. Our Mishnah just wasn't dealing with it. V'imeinu ma'amino, if you don't trust the guy, so we said that you should take his talus as a collateral, and you'll cheshbin it out after Yantif. See it, Mar. Havas Yom Tov. Rav Yosef Amar lo nitna litava, Rav Amar nitna litava. Two basic opinions about halva'as yantav. A loan is made on yantav using the word hashileni, like you're supposed to. You're supposed to use the word hashileni, and you did. Machlokas amaran, can you claim it in court or not? Rabba says Rav Yosef says lo nitna litava. Rav Yosef says that you cannot claim it in court, because that will lead people to write it down. Rabba says you can claim it in court, because otherwise nobody would ever want to lend anything. The Gemara is going to explain. Rav Yosef Amar Lo Nitna Li Tava Di Amar Nitna Li Tava Asi Le Michtav. Rav Yosef says you can't go claim it in court, because if you can claim it in court, then you might come to write it down. Rabbi Amar Nitna Li Tava, you can claim it in court. Di Amar Lo Nitna Lo Yavle Va Asi Le Minuim Simchas Yamtov. Then no one will ever want to lend anything, and then people won't have Simchas Yamtov, because they're not gonna want to lend anything to anybody. Says Tosos, Rabbi Amar Nitna Li Tava Halacha Karaba Legabe Rav Yosef. That we pass on like Rabbi over here, that it is Nitna Li Tava against Rav Yosef. We're going to see stories in the Gemara not that way. So in little words, he adds, "Rav Avi of Rabbi Barula Machmir and Afshayu." Even though we pass like Rabba, the various Amoraim were Machmir on themselves to not be Toveya. Tanan, so says the Gemara. The Gemara is now going to have three attempts to try to prove who's right over here. Is Rabba correct? Is Rav Yosef correct? So attempt number one, Tanan. Imenu ma'amino maniach t'liso atzlo. So we said, if you don't trust him, you can leave your talis here. Yam brishlam alon nitna litava. If you can't claim it in court, mishamachim maniach t'liso atzlo, v'osimo cheshman lachar Shabbos. That's why you need to leave your talis there, and you'll make a cheshman after Shabbos. Al yam nitna litava, ma'am maniach t'liso atzlo, litin lei, v'litva'ei. But if you could always be tovei in court, so then why do you need to leave your talis there? You'll just make the claim in court afterwards, and you'll settle it that way. No, it could be the reason you're leaving the talis is because the lender may demand the collateral because he prefers not to have to go to court. It's a big hassle to go to court. People don't enjoy going to court. Maybe that's what the role of the talis is, but it's not about whether you're allowed to go to court or not. Second raya, if a person shechts a para and he gives out portions of his meat to his friends on Rosh Hashanah, immediately, and it is the Rosh Hashanah immediately after the Shemitah year. So, im hayachodesh Uber, if the previous Elul was 30 days long, so then Meshamet, then the loan, the Shemitah cancels the loan. V'imlav enu Meshamet, but otherwise the Shemitah will not cancel the loan. So apparently, if not for Shemitah canceling the loan would be collectible, even though it was made on Rosh Hashanah. It would be something that you'd be able to be Toveya. If this were not a loan that one could otherwise be Toveya, what does it mean? Shemitah cancels the loan. There's no Tavia on the loan anyway. Says, no, shiny awesome, diglai milsa dechalhu. No, over there it turns out, what do we say? That Elul was 30 days long. That means that the day that you gave out this meat, that you were lending out this meat, it was not Rosh Hashanah. You thought it was Rosh Hashanah, but it turned out to actually be a weekday. So of course it's Nitna Litava in that case. So that's not a good raya. Tashma mi seifa. So Gemara says, okay, let's bring a raya from the seifa. Imla veinu meshamit. If the previous El was not 30 days, Shemitah does not cancel it. If you say that it's Nitna Litava, so I understand why you would say Enu Meshamet, that if it had only 20 days, the loan is not cancelled, implying that the loan is collectible, even though it was made on Yantif. Again, but if it's not collectible, what do you mean Enu Meshamet? It's not collectible to begin with, so you don't need Shemitah. So says Gemara, di yahiv le shakil. No, what it means to say is that if the guy wants to give it back, you're allowed to take it back. That's what we mean, that it's eino mishamit. Eino chinami, you can never demand it back, but can you take it if he offers it? So that's what we mean by eino mishamit. So says Gemara, machal de reisha yahiv le shakil. So what, in the case of the reisha, even if the guy volunteers to pay it, you're not allowed to take it back. That doesn't make any sense. So no, reisha tzarech lemer me mishamit ani. Seifa lo tzarech lemer me mishamit ani. Difference is in the reisha, where Shemitah cancels it, you need to tell him that when he offers it back, look, I can't demand it back because Shemitah came. So you need to inform him of that. But in the Sefer where Shemitah doesn't cancel it, you don't need to say that. If he offers it back, you can take it back. If someone wants to return a chov to you during Shemitah year, you have to say Meshamirani. If he says, Afal pi kain, I don't care, I want you to take it anyway, you kabli menu. Then you can take it from him. Mishum shenemar b'zed dvar Shemitah, Rav Avi shakul mashkona, Rab Barula Marami Arume. Now the Gemara tells the two Amoraim that Tosfos referred to before that Rav Avi would take a mashkon at the time of Halva on Yantif, and Rab Barula would do a harama after Yantif. He would figure out a way to take an object from the guy and not return it until they work things out. And the point is that they did not rely on the fact that it was nitna litava, because they were machmir on themselves, even though the halacha may actually be that it's nitna litava. The Mishnah went on to say, v'chein erev Pesach, that if erev Pesach is chal on Shabbos and you need to get a carbon Pesach because you don't have one from before, so also you leave your talis by the mocher. Amr Rav Yochanan Maktish on the Pesach b'Shabbos chal gasol b'yantav. First going to be Maktish is carbon Pesach on Shabbos and chagiga on yantav. Name Messiah Elev v'chein erev Pesach v'yishlam shchalios b'Shabbos maniach talis v'atzol v'notalos Pesach v'asim achesh v'nachar yantav. We see beferish that you're first getting a carbon Pesach in our Mishnah on Shabbos, so you're obviously being Maktish it on Shabbos. So it's a good raya. Says Gemara, not a good raya. You have other people joined together with the Karban Pesach, and you're only adding new people now to be registered on the Karban Pesach, but it was already Muktash from before Shabbos. But aren't you not allowed to register new people on your Karban Pesach on Shabbos or Yantiv? No, these are people that you always are together with, so it's as if they were already registered. Don't we see you're allowed to be makdish the carbon on Shabbos from there? Hasanami keeping the regular so dushle meikara. Now, but there also, since you always hang out with that person, you're always eating with that person, it's as if it was hukdash for you to begin with. Vamakdish katani. What do you mean it was hukdash to begin with? It says makdish. Sounds like you're doing it now. Hektashila midrabanan. No, you're not really being makdish. You're just making it a more personal midrabanan type of hektash by being makdish personally. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Can Rabbi Yochanan really say you're allowed to be makdish karban Pesach on Shabbos? He always says we pass like a stam mishnah, and we have a beferish stam mishnah that you're not allowed to be makdish karban Pesach on Shabbos. So says Mar Lo Kasha. Kan bechovah shekavol lemzman. Kan bechovah shein kavol lemzman. When it comes to the chiyuv that has a set time that the carbon must be brought during that set time, like the karban Pesach, which must be brought on erev Pesach, that's where we say that you're allowed to be makdish on Pesach. When that stam mishnah says you're not allowed to be makdish on Yantiv, that's about korbanos that have no set time and they cannot be sanctified on Shabbos, because you could bring them whenever you want. It doesn't have to be today. Okay.